Scripture lesson this morning comes from the 10th chapter of Luke. The missing verses are a little bit of commendation, that condemnation that distract us from the meaning of the rest of the passage today. That's why they're left out. You can read along, or you can read silently as I read the scripture here in the bulletin. Listen for God's word. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, I ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick that are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. You know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned after this adventure and had great joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nonetheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we finish our 4th of July celebration, which, as a person who has been scheduling events for the last 40 years, this is the toughest week because it's not last weekend and it's not really this weekend. It's sort of this pop-up holiday in the middle, and nobody knows what to do with it. There was one summer at camp where I guessed that it was one way and everybody else in the world guessed that it was the other way, so nobody came to camp. But we have this celebration reminding us that there was a moment when we said, peace is not in this area, this world, this country, and we tried to do something about it. And we pray for peace every time we get together, and we find that it's still not in the world. So we are challenged by this little piece of scripture this morning, trying to figure out what we should be doing. Sometimes taking peace to other people's homes and villages takes a risk, takes a leap of faith into something new. That's what was going on with these 70 that Jesus sent out. As I was driving over, I realized it may have been like being a student teacher who is sent into a classroom for the first time. You know you've got the skills, you've been in front of a class, but all of a sudden it's your class and not somebody else's class. Or it's like being a guest preacher in front of a church where you know that this whole thing works, but it's brand new. So there is a risk to stepping out and taking peace. And as I was thinking about this, this crazy image popped into my mind, this image that I always remember when I'm trying to do something new. It's from The Lord of the Rings, the first movie. Bilbo and Sam are given this challenge, and they leave Hobbit Town, and there's a moment in a cornfield. Some of you may know this, some of you may not, but there's a moment when Sam stops and Bilbo keeps walking on, And Sam says, Bilbo, I've never been, when I take the next step, I will have been farther away from home than I ever was before. He recognized he was stepping into unusual territory, something new, and it was a bit scary. But he took that step, and all of a sudden there's two more movies after that one. So it was a long journey to get to the end. We'll come back to that. That might have been the feeling of some of this group of 70 who were sent out by Jesus to do the things that they'd seen him doing, teaching and healing people. But it was this moment, probably in a moment of, we would call it industrial or organizational expansion, when there's a leader who has a great idea and people really think it's a great idea. It's like an GoFundMe or an Indiegogo where somebody has a great idea. Instead of getting 100%, they get 1,000% of their funding. You know, so all of a sudden, there's this challenge of success. Jesus is looking around and saying, I've been at this for a while, and there's all these other places that I really should go and tell them what I have to say, but there's not enough time. And so he, in chapter 9, sends the 12 disciples out by twos, and they have this amazing experience. And then in this chapter, he picks 70 people. It's hard to tell what Luke is doing with this number 70, but we recognize that in Genesis chapter 10, there's this list of 70 nations on the whole world. And so Luke is connecting to the whole world, that Jesus saw that there were places that these people needed to go. And so he sent them out. And he sent them directly. And he was saying, this is not a lollygagging journey. Here's the town you need to go to. Make sure you go directly there. Don't stop and chit-chat. Don't do any sightseeing on the way. Don't look at the map and say, oh, that's exciting. My wife and I and our daughter set out a couple weeks ago to travel just a little ways up the coast of Maine. And I knew this was going to be a challenge, but my wife had the map, and she is a good map reader, but not distance-wise. And so she picked an item. And my daughter, who's sitting in the back seat, 39 years old, and I both kind of said, well, that's a long way, and we've only got so much time. So we had to kind of tone it back a little bit. And we did finally made it back for a late dinner. But Jesus sent these people to a specific place. Get there, walk into the town, and see who welcomes you. And that's what they did. And they found some great success. Travel light, be flexible. Don't expect to be staying in the Holiday Inn, but be in a place, stay in a place where people welcome you. You've seen me teach and heal, now go and do it. As having spent most of my ministry career doing camps and conferences, my mind goes to children going off to camp this afternoon. Kids who are taking a step like this away from home into a faith development experience that they think is going to be fun, and it will be fun, but there's this faith development component that goes on. And parents are knowing that that's the right thing to do. And so there are a group of people today stepping out like these 70 across the country, trying to become people of God. But in addition, we need to challenge ourselves in what are the ways that we can be going out to be agents of peace. How can we have an experience like this excited group of 70? How do we quietly reflect to understand where God is nudging us to go? The one charge I've always found hard to resist is this challenge that Jesus says to his disciples, when I was homeless and you gave me a home. There was one long winter where I had 3 college students living in a cabin with a wood stove and bathrooms a building or two away. We have provided home for the homeless. But in our retirement, Kathy, who's the brilliant person in my life, even if she can't read a map as well as my daughter and I, has led us to the place where we live and the incredible ministry that we find ourselves very active in. Habitat for Humanity, you all know, Jimmy Carter is very active in it. Habitat for Humanity in Newburgh is this incredibly active and energetic chapter where great volunteers work to improve the housing stock in Newburgh. It's a little depressing when I tell people that the city I live in, 25% of the homes are abandoned or falling down. But the other side of that story is that that's a smaller and smaller number every year. And one of the reasons is the efforts of Habitat. In 20 years, this group of Habitat volunteers will celebrate next October completing 100 houses, which is making a huge difference in the housing stock in a community that needs help. And this is not giveaway housing, it's housing for families who've worked themselves up a ladder of economic status to the point where they can qualify for a bank loan. A bank loan at a reduced price because there's been so much volunteer work. But we provide a 21st century house, sometimes in a 1900s brick shell, and sometimes it's in a brand new facility. And so as Habitat works on one side of a street, all of a sudden people who own the houses on the other side of the street start to improve them, because the neighborhood changes from being, the street we're working on now has been empty all winter while we've been working there, and all of a sudden there's a little more activity and more energy going on. And so there are places where we can react to the nudging that we feel. We all need to figure out what our step toward bringing peace, bringing God's kingdom is. For 43 years, I was a camp director, which meant that life was never quiet. My wife is a social activist and sees injustice around the world and can't figure out why she can't fix it all. And so when I retired, there was this moment when she had been traveling to Colombia on occasion to be in a company with the Presbyterian Peace Fellowship. And she said, well, there's no excuse anymore. And I said, you're right, let's go together. And so February of 2018, she and I traveled to Colombia, which, you know, is always in the news for turmoil and disruption in their government, but where there is a very strong Presbyterian church. Presbyterian church, which is very similar to ours in that it stands firmly on good education for its pastoral leaders. And so in communities across the country, there are these well-educated people who understand how the government works, how their lives of faith speak, and what the next steps toward peace should be. And they've asked folks from the PCUSA to be there with them a month at a time, be a North American presence in this troubled South American country and provide a witness to any possible violence, which usually doesn't happen when we're there, which is good news. But having spent a month not knowing where we're going next, not knowing when it was going to be travel time next, and we lived in a pastor's house, which was a thatched roof hut with a dirt floor for 5 days. We lived in a concrete small city dwelling, a three-bedroom house with 8 people in it, and they stretched to make room for us. And we saw the places and the ministries that were going on helping people who'd been displaced by the violence. One of the pastors said to us one day, we were in this small city, and she said, we want to go to this town up in the mountains, Piedras Blancas, the white foothills. And so we said, sure. We did something a camp director really should never do. We climbed in the back of a Jeep without a seatbelt, which is one of those things we never let anybody do, and drove for an hour and a half up this bumpy road. And we visited this small church that was in the town and had a drink in the town, a cold drink. And this pastor, who'd been in the town for the city where we were staying for 30 years, said, I used to live over those mountains. And when my family was kicked off of the land that had been theirs forever, I had to walk over those mountains. And this was the first town I met when I came into this part of Colombia. And so she now lives in a city instead of living on a country farm. That was an exceptional opportunity, but an exceptional, drastic way of sort of uprooting ourselves for a month and letting God lead us to the right place, but also figuring out what we needed to be doing. I'm not expecting everybody here to, well, you could all sign up for a month with the Presbyterian Peace Fellowship, but that's pretty drastic. But there are ways to think about what is the peace we can bring to the world that go that far, but even are less than that. My wife, who can't avoid these things, spent a week on the Mexican border last month. Douglas, Arizona, and a little town called Agua Prieta. She had an amazing experience, as usual. But she gave of her time, she gave of her safety, and spent the week in Mexico, right on the border. Now, I have to explain to you that I was thinking the worst, the way you are, until she called me on Friday night of the week she was there. And she said, well, everybody from Douglas is coming to Agua Prieta because the restaurants and the entertainment is better in Mexico than it is in the United States. So it was not as rustic as I was thinking, but it was still rustic. She was there, and I was telling Connie as we walked in this morning, unfortunately, there are cartels who control access to the bus station. And so the buses from the south come in, and the cartels figure out, and they hold people up. They charge people to get out of the bus station. But if you have enough documentation to prove that you can be applying for asylum, they'd let you go to this little ministry where she was working. And they wait for a week in line at the border wall waiting to go through when their number is called. And so this ministry was taking families, including little children, back to a respite facility to wash clothes, to do laundry, to take showers, and for the children that she met to color in coloring books, literally to relax a little bit. Again, something pretty dramatic, but it's ongoing, and anybody can take themselves to that kind of a ministry. But it doesn't need to be that dramatic. It makes me start to think, what are the pieces of peace that we can do each day? What are the peacemaking things we can do each day? What are the prayers that you can give, that you can commit yourself to do for a week or a month or a year that will make a difference in peace in some part of the world? It might even be just showing up at Bible school this week and saying hello to kids, or handing out juice. Something as simple as that, being present in a different place and sharing a warm welcome. Jesus sent the 70 out, and he said, when you have a chance to talk about your faith experience, do it. When you have a chance to heal somebody, heal. When they're receptive to that. Where you're not welcome, don't delay. Don't push yourself into a place that you're not accepted, and just move on to the next place where you've been assigned. Frodo and Sam set out on their journey, hoping to bring peace to their part of the world, recognizing that warfare was impinging on Hobbit Town. And it depends whether you read the book or watch the movie. There are two different endings. They both sort of suggest peace, but they also suggest that peace still wanders. There's turmoil outside. But they managed to make a difference in that huge journey that took three books and three movies to tell the story. What can you do to bring peace to a home or to a community? Or to a state or a nation? What can you do to make a difference and to bring this peace that Jesus talks about to the households where you find yourselves? There is a blessing we can all give. Peace to this house, peace to this community, peace to this nation, peace to this world. As we are sent out from our comfortable places to where Jesus calls us, maybe a short distance, maybe a long distance, but follow that call and take the experience of this communion table as support and encouragement and energy as you work for peace. Let us pray together. Almighty God, help us to be your people Remind us that you sent those 70 out into unusual and unexpected conditions. Be with us as we listen to these urgings of places we could go, and lead us there. For we find our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.